All right, we are on the top of Chaf Amud Beis. So we, we are discussing this question of what happens if the person doesn't remember, the person saw something, and either they wrote it down, or they were there with somebody else, or some other way that they then get reminded, right, of the testimony that they themselves saw, right? So so we said if your friend reminds you, that's okay. But if the Baal Din himself, and the person about whom you're testifying, has to remind you, so then we possibly that doesn't work. However, the Gemara kind of concluded on the top of Chaf Amud Beis, v'yitzur b'merabananu afilu atzmo. If the witness is a tzur b'merabanan, so then even a tamei chacham, so then even if the Baal Din reminds him, it works also. And why is that? Rashi pointed out because he has a certain level of integrity that if he didn't actually remember in the end, he's not going to rely on the other person really to remind him. It'll be that it's coming from himself. And I pointed out as we were finishing up, it's very surprising because typically we don't say this person's super religious, this person's, you're kashrut, and we believe you. Here, you're delivering, maybe it's because you're already delivering good testimony, right? We know that you really knew it at some point, and the question just is, can we assume that you are relying on your own knowledge or that you are relying on what someone else tells you that you knew once? So here, the level of integrity of the person matters in terms of our being able to trust that when you say that you actually remember it, you actually remember it.
So when it says a filo atzman, like the Baal Din triggered it for him, and then he actually remembered it because
says, the Baal Din is the one who says to you, "Don't you remember?" etc. And you say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So if it's just a regular person, that's not okay. It's like too, it's too close. It's too close for comfort at that point. Like the Baal Din himself, it's like, remember you saw that I was owed $50,000. Oh yes. Now I remember. Like that's already too close. But the person has, real impeccable integrity, so then we assume that they were just triggered to remember themselves, if they would have written it down and been reminded by their note, something like that.
Okay. Is it defined anywhere what's
super mirror button this?
Yeah,
that's a good question, yeah. I have to look in the Rambam and Hilchos Eidos to see if he gives a little more description there. We have to look. But okay, and the Gemara actually tells a story. Kihad Rav Ashi, Haviyadiya Lebisadusa Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi knew information. He had testimony to give about Rav Kahana. Amrle mi dakir mar hai sadusa. So Rav Kahana said to him, "Do you remember that testimony about me?" Amrle lo. He said, "I actually don't." V'lav hachi v'hachi ava. He says, "What do you mean? Wasn't it like this and this? Meaning, didn't the following thing happen? Remember, you saw that guy owes me $1,000." Amrle lo yadana. He says, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." L'sof idkar Rav Ashi asidle. Right. So at the end, Rav Ashi's like, "Oh, you know what? Actually, Taka, I do remember. I did see the Rav Kahana. Lent $1,000 to that guy. Whatever the testimony was." So Chazia, the Rav Kahana, David Machasim. So he looked at Rav Kahana and he was like bewildered. Like Rav Kahana was like, "Are you kidding me? Like after all that, like now you're telling me that you actually remember?" So Amalai, Misavris Allah Kasamichna, Anuhud Ramay and Nafshai Vitri. So Rav Ashi says back to him, "You think I was relying on you? It's not true. At the end of the day, I remembered it myself." Right? So that's sort of exactly the point. It's an example of, so if you want to know a definition of Tzur Mirabanan, I can't tell you the lower level, but at least Rav Ashi, right? It's Tzur Mirabanan. So that doesn't go well for most of us. Right? You have to be like Rav Ashi to be in that situation. But that's exactly the story. Right? So Rav Ashi basically says, in the end, it wasn't you. Right? You jogged my memory, but I actually remembered it myself. I'm not parroting that which you told me happened. I'm actually remembering it myself. Fine.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is that whole conversation is we assume that if the person can state, "I myself remember, I just had to get my memory jogged," so then that's enough for the person to give testimony. Fine. And by the way, the Rishonim point out, we mentioned earlier the concept of Kaven Jehigit Shuv Eino Chozer Magid, that when a person gives testimony, once you say something, you can't then flip it and go back on what you said. So here he did. He says, "Do you know?" He says, "I actually don't know." He, "Oh, yeah, I actually remember." So the assumption is that in this case, because he's like getting reminded of what he actually saw, that's not considered like giving testimony and then going back on it. It's trying, the whole process is trying to remember the testimony, and therefore that's why it counts. It's not considered you gave testimony and now you're switching it. Yeah, I guess so, right? A little bit, yeah. Right. As long as we have an assumption that they, again, and that's why in most cases, the guy can be like, what do you mean, remember? You know, that's not going to work. Yeah. I would probably recommend they figure that out before they show up in Beis Din, but it's a different story. Okay. Tanan Hasam. So now we're talking about sort of a totally different, not totally different, but relatively different different topic. Okay. Hatzululios. Hakrovos bein leir bein lederech echad chadashos echad yishanos tameo. So what are tlulios? Rashi says tlulios from the word tail tile karka. Rashi on the fourth wide line up top. Right, tile karka means like mounds. And what kind of mounds in the ground? So says Rashi v'derech b'nei adam likvor b'tail. When people would bury people, they would bury them like in a mound of dirt, meaning it, that the dirt would actually stick up above the ground rather than be, you know, flush with the ground afterwards. Why? If you have a raised earth, right, what's going to happen? People are not going to walk on it. It's going to be obvious that there's something there, right? So Rashi says, Ir and Derech are going to explain what they mean. But the point is, when you see a mound of earth, right, somewhere when you're walking, do you have to assume that there might be a corpse buried there? Right, and if there's this concern that there might be a corpse right there, the person who would walk on it would become tameh. So the question is, if I'm walking along the road and I see a mound like that, do I have to assume that it's tameh, the area is tameh, and anyone who walks over that area will become tameh or not? So now the Gemara gives us definitions. So Tanan Hasan, Hatalulios Hakrovos. So if you have a tail like that, this type of mound, and it is close, right? Close to what? Bein le'ir, bein le'derech, right? Whether that's close to the city or close to the road, and we're going to explain what city and road we're talking about. Echad chadashos ve'echad yishanos temeos. Whether it is a new mound or an old mound, we assume that there is tumah in that area. We assume there's a body there. It could be a body there, and someone who walks over it would become tame. Look at Rashi. Why is that? What are we? What's the concern? It says Rashi, echad chadashos she'ein zman rachok shelo haya kantel. I mean, this is a recently placed mound. Why do we assume it's tameh? Because we can assume that if it was new, because if there was someone buried there, we would know about it, right? Afilu hachi, nevertheless, tameos. Meaning, you might say, what do you mean? What this new mound? If this new mound was here because someone was buried there, we would know about that, right? That's something, is a change in the topography here because someone was just buried there a few days ago. So wouldn't you say I would know? If I would know, then it shouldn't be tameh, right? Nevertheless, tameos misafik. It's still tameh misafik. What's the concern? They came in the smuch la'ir, ikalameimar isha yechida halcha v'kavra sham nefil shala. What's the concern? That if a woman would miscarry at a certain stage, so the halacha is that you take the fetus, and you have to do kavura on the fetus. This is the halacha to this very day. If there's a miscarriage again at a certain stage of development, that you have to bury the fetus. So what's the concern? Yeah, you assume that you would know that someone had buried somebody there. The answer is you wouldn't necessarily know because that type of kavura happens quietly in secret, and you wouldn't necessarily know about it. And therefore, even though it's chadashos, even though it's new, nevertheless it's tameh. Right, why? Because it's karov to the city. It's close to the city. It's a place where people would have made such a burial.
Meaning, if it was a regular person that died, everybody knows that person died.
Correct.
And there was a levaya there, and
right,
as opposed to this miscarriage situation,
which would be done quietly. And this has always been it's a big conversation to this day.
Yeah,
what happens in these types of situations, and should people, you know, make it more public and private, and should people know and not know? But it used to be for centuries and millennia that the minhag was, if there was a miscarriage, right, in this scenario, they would actually, the chevra would take the you know, the minhag would be that the chevra would actually take the fetus and bury it, and people wouldn't even necessarily know where it was. But the bottom line here, the point is that it's something that's always done privately and quietly, and you wouldn't necessarily know about it. That's the point.
I thought it meant that you, there wasn't a man there a few days ago.
There wasn't.
And now you changed, you saw the topography change.
Correct. But if the topography changes...
And that's what you noticed. That's the...
It is. But the point is that if that happens,
yeah.
If it's old, what do I say? I don't know that there's a body there or not because it happened so long ago.
Right.
If it's new, right. I would say, what do you mean? I should know. So maybe that should be... So the old one, I can understand why it's tummy. But if it's new, I would think, what do you mean? That shouldn't be tummy. I would know if there's a body there. The answer is you wouldn't know because there's another explanation, which was maybe the baby, maybe this is a fetus that was buried.
Right.
So that's
people
the point.
People walking outside, and now all of a sudden they're more conscious.
What's that thing doing here? Right. And now they notice it. Oh, that's brand new. Okay, so it can't be a body because I would know about that. The answer is you actually wouldn't know.
So right? NAFL has the same status as a regular...
It's not exactly the same status, but at a certain stage of development, it requires
a... But it also gives off tuma the same...
Yeah, reason. Yeah, in the same way. Yes, correct. Yes. Okay, so that's... So that is if it's karov. If it's karov to the ear and karov to the derech, whether it's chadash and whether it's yasham, whether it's a new mount or an old mount, it's temeos. But harachokos, and back in the Gemara now, harachokos, those, if it's further from, it's what's karov and rachok, the mount. So if the mount is far away, so then chadashos, tahoros, if it's new, then it's tahor. If it's yashanos, it's temeos. If it's old, then it's tameh. What's the what changes? So if it's again, look at Rashi, harachokos de'ein ishi yachida holecha shashan. Right, if it's far away from the city, so it wouldn't be the derech typically for a woman to travel far away to make this type of to do this type of kura. And if that's true, then chadashos taharos. If it's new, I can assume it's tar. Why? Right, the same rule we said before. If it's a new mound and I don't know that someone passed away and was buried there, so then I can assume that it's tar. Oh, what about the concern for a nafal being buried there? The answer is it's too far away, and it wouldn't be the derech to bury a nafal in that place. And yeshanos tamayos. But if it's old and it's a mound, you have to assume it's tamay. Why? Because it's old already, people don't remember, right? If it's there or not there, why it was there, how long it's been there, it's always been there, you know. So in that scenario, then you have to be concerned that maybe there was a body there and people just have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is why it's helpful that we have other Mishnayos that talk about the markings they would put on graves. So that people would know. That's one of the reasons we have a matzeva to this very day. So that people don't have this question of what to do with it. If there's a matzeva, you know. There's one, you know. But anyways, that's the lacha. Fine. It says the Gemara, Ezui Krova, what is close? What do you mean close? So close is chamishim amma, 50 amos. Okay? It's like, you know, it's like 100 or 200, 150 feet.
From the derech?
Well, yeah, something like that. Ve'ezui hi yishana, and what's old? Shishim Shana, 60 years. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Right, so Karov is 50 Amos, old is 60 years. That's what Rabbi Meir says. And what's the assumption why 60 years? After 60 years, no one's going to remember anymore. Right?
It's a lifetime.
They don't live
yeah,
that long.
Yeah, and people didn't live 60 years in Tanz Gemara. Right? So like, you know, so 60 years is like a generation, you know, or a lifetime enough that people, a whole generation of people who would have seen it would have by that point passed away. You'd have no reason for people to know. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Krova She'ein Krova Himenu. What's close? Close is the closest, right? The closest spot, right? Once you're past the closest spot, the point being, then you don't have to make that assumption anymore that the nafal was buried at the further spot. I mean, whatever's closest. If there's multiple mounds, right?
Yeah.
So the one that's considered the one that is the closest. Is the karov. Anything after the closest is already considered further away.
Okay.
Because presumably the assumption is that if someone was going to bury nafal, they would make sure to do so in the closest possible spot. This is the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, so krova she'ein krova hemen, that's the closest. Yeshana she'ein anam zohra. Old means people don't remember. Right? It doesn't have to be 60 years. It's just as long as people don't know. Hey, what is it, man? From? I don't know. Anybody know? Nobody knows. Okay, so we don't know if it's been 60 years, it's been 47 years, it's been 23 years. The bottom line is someone forgot and no one remembers. Right? Fine. But the bottom, so that's machlokas about how you determine, how you define close and how, you know, close and far, how you determine new and old. Fine. Okay. My ear, my derech. What are you talking about when you say a city and you see a derech? What are you referring to? Ile, my ear, mamish. Derech, derech, mamish. If ir means literally the city, right? That it's, you know, close to the city or close to the road, right? Misveka mimachaskinan tuma. Right? Really, out of suffix, you're going to assume something's tame. If Amresh Lakish ila matzu v'tiaru Eretz Yisrael. That Rish Lakish has, there's a story in the Gemara in Sota, the Gemara in Nazir, that Rish Lakish went to great lengths, basically, without going into the whole story, but he went to great lengths to be Metaher, the land of Eretz Yisrael. They tried very hard always to make sure. If they could, they would classify areas of Eretz Yisrael as Tahor, to make sure that Kohanim and other people could walk through areas and not have to be concerned that they're becoming Tameh. So the point is that since typically they try very hard, right, to make sure, look at Rashi, Ila Matsu, on the left side, a couple lines down from where in the Gemara, Rashi says, "Alila ba'alma matzu chachamim." Right? They tried like very, very different, very hard. V'chziku ba'litlos aleha. They find all kinds of relatively flimsy arguments, right, to be able to be matar Eretz Yisrael b'mesechas Nazir perek Basra. So what do you see, Alma? What you see from there, misveka lo mechaskinan tuma bekarka shel Eretz Yisrael. You don't just matamis things. It's tzafek, you should be machmir. No, we don't do that when it comes to land in Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want people to have to worry, Kohanim, other people, to be becoming tameh. They have all kinds of things they need to do. We want to be tahor, di truma, etc. So we're careful to not just flippantly be matameh Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on here? So that's hard. I mean, so it's stam a city, a street, that would be hard. If we're being matame, everything in those areas would be very hard. So Amar Bezer, that's not what it means. Ir hasmucha la beis akvaros, v'derech derech beis akvaros. So what are we talking about? We're not talking about stama city or stama derech. It's a city next to the cemetery, or a street which is right next to right along the cemetery. So Gemara says, okay, Bishlama derech beis akvaros, dezimin dimisrame ben hashmashos, umikru kivru betel. Because if you want to tell me it's the city that's next to the actual cemetery, so fine. Meaning, or sorry, the derech of the beis akvaros, I get it. The derech of the beis akvaros, so meaning sometimes, Shki is coming, they want to make sure to get the burial in, so they do a burial really quickly, right? Quickly, and maybe they don't do mamet right in the cemetery, but on the road, right there. So that I get. It can happen sometimes. You do it fast, so you have to do a... just outside the cemetery on the road. That I hear. Ela ir hasmuch lebeis akvaros, kule lebeis akvaros asleif. But like, what, the city next to the beis akvaros? You're going to go into the city. They're going to go into the beis akvaros. We're not burying people, next to the city if there's a beis akvaros right there. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, mitoch shanashim kovros sham niflehen umuke shchin zro sayen. The answer is, you're right, but this is not regular type of kuvur that we're concerned for. We're worried about two possible things. One is the nefa, like we mentioned before, and the other is from mukashchin. Mukashchin, what would happen? These are people who had all kinds of horrible physical ailments that even their limbs, their body parts at times would have to be amputated or would fall off. And if that would happen, halach is it needs to be buried. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, right, they fall off, or they have to be amputated. Right, the body part of a human being, if it has to be removed, so it can be metame, just like the body part of a mace. Interesting halachos, shouldn't be halachal mace, but for situations where there's like an amputation, what you do with that body part? The Gemara seems to be clear that it needs to be buried, just like a body needs to be buried. But the point being that the reason why that these would not be placed in the Beis HaKvaros, because the Beis HaKvaros is a place for people who lived their lives and passed away, you buried in the Beis HaKvaros. But the areas next to are the areas where these other types of kvuras that take place, which are not your typical kvura, those are the things that would happen in along outside the Beis HaKvaros, maybe in the city closer, or just outside the city closer to the Beis HaKvaros.
I have a question. I don't know how they bury people or if there were cemeteries back then, but today you go into a cemetery. So I was always taught you're not supposed to walk directly over the grave.
Right.
But really, in truth, the cemetery, the way we have it today, everything is tummy in there, right?
If you're dialed almost from a grave,
yeah.
If you're dialed almost from a grave, it's technically not metame, but if there's any trees over the area or anything else hanging over, so then you become, there's too much ohel, that'd be metame. But technically speaking, if you're more, dialed almost are more away from a grave, you can't become tamei.
Yet a kohen can't go into a cemetery.
So it's a big discussion.
Right?
So the way kohen navigate cemeteries is actually not that simple, because there are times when that's cemeteries at time they try to give kohanim the outer area so they can stand by the fence.
Right.
But so it's not really about the fence. It's not really about the fence. The fence is more.
It's the trees is
one of the biggest challenges. Yeah. But and the other is just standing a little further away.
But I'm just saying over here they're talking about
walking over. But once you walk over it, then you make an ohel even.
You're now standing over it, and then
you become tamei that way.
That's what they're talking about here, where
you're going to walk over the thing.
The man,
exactly.
The
Again, or there's a tree hanging over, and you're under it, etc. You have to know what the area is. But yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, it's like all you know these you know interesting shadows about you know kids who are kohanim to know they walk. You're walking by a cemetery, and there's trees hanging over. It's like a whole you know, it's a whole Torah about these things for kohanim. Okay. And continues the Gemara on this point. Ad chamishim ama azla ihi lechuda, right? And what's with the chamishim ama? Why specifically chamishim ama? Because that amount we assumed that a woman would go by herself, right, to bury the nefil. But tvei divra inish bihada. But if it's more than that, she's going to bring a man with her. The beis hakvaros azla, and they'll go to the beis hakvaros already. Hilgach tuma beretz Yisrael lo mechaskinan. And that's why Tumah and Eretz Yisrael, in general, we don't have a chazakah, the things become tamei. But nevertheless, once it goes further away, that's when we have more of this concern. Fine. So the truth is, you're right. In general, we assume areas in Eretz Yisrael are tahor, but it's these areas right around the cemetery where we have more of this concern that maybe an ephah was buried there, etc. Okay. So Am Rav Chista Shema Minami Rabbi Meir. So Rav Chista says, and by the way, we learned from Rabbi Meir who said, 60 years is how long it takes to forget, right? Hai sadusa ad shisin shanin midkar. Tfei lo midkar. So you see from Rabbi Meir that if a person remembered testimony, so they can't remember, so if it was less than 60 years, so we can assume they can remember it. But it's been more than 60 years already, so then we assume they're not going to remember it. So the Gemara says, Velovi, that's not true. Hasam hu de lo rami alei. Avahach akevim de rami alei. I feel it's yuvanam. The Gemara says, that's not true. There's a difference between remembering if someone was buried in a place and remembering testimony that you saw yourself. And if it's something that you know, whether there was a burial in a certain place, so that's not like such impactful information. That's not something that people are really going to remember. However, this, right, which is, you know, when you were, look at Rashi, it's avahacha, right above where it says the word masnisen, says Rashi, avahacha shah sa'u eid bedavar. You were a witness to something. Afilu tuvanami samachinan asadusei imasin. If you can say you know it, then you'll be able to tell. I'm sure we all know individuals who are who remember things. We all ourselves sometimes remember things from very certain things that are seared in our memories. Even can be 60, 70, 80 years ago. We know that people have such ability to remember. So much as if it's something that happened to you, something that you saw with your own eyes, so that's something you're going to remember more. To remember that some person was buried in some place, yes, that's something people might forget when it takes 60 years. Fine. So let's learn. Yeah.
When Rabbi Meir says 60 years, 60 years from when? What does that mean? I understand with the document because it's dated, so you could
Set
times, but an old mound.
You're saying the whole point. You're like the whole point is that nobody knows,
right? So how do they?
I guess it's 60 years from when you could assume that someone would have known of such a thing. You're right. It's a good question. You know, and is it 60 years of the day, or is it a berach 60 years? You know, but it depends. But let's just we have a little extra time, so let's just read the Mishnah and then we'll get ourselves set up for next week. Okay, so it says the Mishnah the following. Ze omer ksav yadi veze omer yado veze ksav yado shal chaveri. So imagine that we've been talking about the fact that you need a witness to say that someone else's signature is good, right? So what happens if you have two witnesses who signed and they both show up and they say, that's my signature and that's his signature, right? And then the other one says, right, that's my signature and that's his signature, right? They each say about each other, about themselves and the other person's signature. Right, so Zeh Omer Ksav Yadi V'Zeh Ksav Yado Shal Chaveri. Zeh Omer Zeh Ksav Yadi V'Zeh Ksav Yado Shal Chaveri. Hari El Nemanin. Everyone's believed. Why? It says Rashi. The Ika Tre Sade De Misade Akol Ksav Uksav. You have two witnesses on each
themself
signature.
And the other
himself and the other person. For each of them. Right?
You can count as a witness,
because you're just being Mekayim your own signature.
Yeah.
But you have to have at least one other person that's going to say that it was... That was good.
Right.
Okay. Ze omer ze ksav yadi ve ze omer ze ksav yadi. Right? If each one says, that's my signature and only, Right? You need to have somebody else, another person who says, oh yeah, I recognize the signature. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. V'chachamim omrim, einam tzrichin v'tzarif imahim acher, el anem an adam lomar zek sav yadi. And Rebbe Chacham say, no, a person is believed to say, that's my signature, I don't need a second person to join me. Your exact question, guys, is exactly the point, right? Like, what do you mean two? One of them is myself, right? So the question is, do I need like one other person, basically, right, to testify on me? Or no, is it enough for a person to say, yeah, that's me. Right, is that enough? And that's going to be the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, which we'll talk much more about next week. Okay.